Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Nun Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked up Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the top of Daf Nun Aleph, we notice from the last shiur, Rova as a number 4 at the top of the page. The Gemara had been discussing sources that the Minchas Chavitin, the daily meal offering, the daily mincha offering that the Kohen Gadol brings, is brought even on Shabbos. Rava mentioned that because it says in the Pasuk, Al Machvas, and the Machvas is the name of a kli in the Beis HaMikdash, things that are put into kelim, items, sacrificial items that are placed in vessels in the Beis HaMikdash, if they're left overnight, they will become unfit. Therefore, if the machvas was, the minchas chavitin was prepared on Erev Shabbos, it would have become pusel if left over till Shabbos. So by virtue of the fact that it needs a kli for its preparation, it shows that it must be done on Shabbos as well. Therefore, as Rava said, if we want to reread Rava at the top line, we see Rava Omar al machvas malamed shtuna kli. Ve'i ofi lo me'asmol. The al machvas teaches me that you require a vessel, and if it would have been baked from the day before, ifsil le balina, it would have become unfit through lina, through being left over beyond its time. Our shiur today begins from this point. Tanyo kavosei de Rava. We have a Tanaic source that supports Rava. The support comes from the very beginning of the source, where you can see that we have a long Tanaic source by virtue of the fact that the next section of Gemara, till halfway down the page, you'll see is in a frame. In our Gemara markings, we frame off Tanaic sources so as to show them those sections that are framed off as distinct from the rest of the Gemara. That which is in the frame sections is of Tanaic origin. So the opening of this source says, Al Machvas, a quote from the same Pasuk. That's Perek Vav in Sefer Vayikra Pasuk Yud Dalet. And it says, Al Machvas, Melamed Shetuna Kli. The Pasuk, of course, is in the context of the Minchas Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol daily meal offering. So Al Machvas tells us, Melamed Shetuna Kli, it teaches us that you need a vessel for its preparation. And therefore, if it would be prepared, the baking of it would take place on Friday, it would not be fit to be offered on Shabbos. The Pasuk says, Bashemen. The entire Pasuk that we're quoting from right now, Pasuk Yud Dalet, we had cited in a previous shiur, so that if you want to see the reference to that Pasuk, you can look at the bottom of Nun Omid Beis, and you'll see we've written in the inside margin, Al Machvas Bashemen Teoseh Murveches Tevieno Tufieni Minchas Pitin Takriv Reach Nichoach Lashem. So in that Pasuk, it mentions, in addition to Al Machvas, it says Bashemen. And from this, the Brisa says, Lahoisif Lo Shemen. More than the regular amount of Shemen is to be added, is to be offered in this Minchas Chavitin. Before we go further, we have a nosei, a topic heading in the outside margin. In our Gemara marking system, we attempt to supply topic headings and structural notes as each new section of Gemara appears and each new marking appears. So in this case, our topic heading, called Nosei, we've written Mekoros u'machlokes tanoim v'inyan kamus ha-shemen ha-nidrash, that's required, leminchas chavitim shel kohen gadol. We will see sources and a Tanaic controversy regarding the quantity of oil that's required for the minchas chavitim of the kohen gadol. So the word bashemen it tells me lahoisif la shemen. We might point out ahead of time that this source, it may appear to be unclear to a certain extent, and there will be three opinions that appear later on the page. They're marked off with volcano shapes. These are three different opinions of how to read and how to understand this long Tanaic source. So if anyone feels that it's not 100% clear at this point, you can understand why. You can see that there is quite a bit of controversy surrounding how to understand this source. So with that disclaimer in mind, we will continue reading the source, attempting to offer a very simplistic translation, line by line, realizing that we have to make some order of things later on. So the Pasuk had mentioned, Ba'shemen lahoisif la shemen. The Eini Yodea Kama, and I don't know how much. When you say I have to add to the Minchas Chavitin, Shemen, how much is that? Hareini Don. So we will attempt to logically compare it through two other examples. Hareini Don. Nemar Kan Shemen. Nemar Lahlon B'Minchas Nisachim Shemen. It says in the context of the Minchas Chavitin, the word Shemen, and it says in the Minchas Nesachim, this is a meal offering that comes together with the Tomid, the daily Ola offering that was offered in the Beis HaMikdash. So it says in the context of the Minchas Nesachim of the Tomid, Shemen. Ma lahalon shloishis lugin l'isaron. Just like over there, there were three lug of oil per isaron. The lug is a liquid measure. So you have three lugin per isaron is a dry measure of the flour. So there was a ratio of three lug per isaron. Af kan, with so too here with the Minchas Chavitin, shloishis lugin l'isaron. That conclusion would be through the word comparison of shemen, where you see shemen in both contexts. Oy klach l'derech zu. In our marking system, we often employ a squiggle underline when we are trying to present a change or an additional option. In this case, we have another option. O klach l'derech zu, or go this way in coming to your conclusion. Nemar kan shemen. It says by the Minchas Chavitin, shemen. V'nemar b'minchas nedova, shemen. And it says by one who volunteers to bring a voluntary meal offering, also the word shemen. Ma lahalon lug echod. Just like in the case of the Minchas nedova, it's one lug per isaron. Af kan, so too by the Chavitin, it's lug echad. Let's go over that point again, just for the sake of accuracy. In the case of a minchas nedava, it's one lug, and as far as the per isaron issue, let's leave that aside, because the Torah talks about even a very large mincha of 60 isaron having one lug to it. So we know that in a minchas nedava, which the word shemen appears, one lug is brought. Afkan, so let's conclude by the Chavitin as well, lug echad. So as you just look over the last few lines we read, you can see with our dashed underline the difference between the two approaches. If you compare the Minchas Chavitin to the Minchas Nesachim, you'll come out with a three lug quantity of oil. If you compare the Minchas Chavitin to the Minchas Nedava, noticing the other dashed underline, you see one lug, lug echad. Nira lemi dome. So let's continue in trying to see what our Minchas Chavitin is more similar to, because right now we're posed with two choices, and you can see we've also underlined them above, so you can see very quickly the first choice is compare Chavitin to Minchas Nesachim, and the second was compare it to a Nedava. So the Gemara says, let's see what it's like. Donin. These are abbreviated expressions, and the Gemara, the Brisa immediately explains what they are. So, donin tashat mi tashat. The tashat are three points that you find by the Minchas Tomid that the niske, the nesachim of the Tomid, and it's three things that are you find by the Chavitin as well. What are they? Tadir, it comes with regularity. Doche Shabbos, we know that the Minchas Nesachim of the Tomid is Doche Shabbos, and the Minchas Chavitin is Doiche Shabbos and Doiche Tumah. They also push off any problems concerning Tumah, ritual impurity. So I would compare the Minchas Chavitin to the Minchas Tomid, V'ein Donin Tashat Mi She'eno Tashat. And I won't compare the Minchas Chavitin that has these three elements to the Minchas Nedava that doesn't have these three elements. In other words, by the Minchas Nedava, it's a personal, voluntary korban. It doesn't come with a sense of tedirus, of regularity. It's not Doche Shabbos, and it's not Doche Tumo. Oy, klach l'derech zu, or go this way. Notice the same squiggle underline like we saw before. Or maybe go in this direction. Donin yogel mi yogel. Let's compare our Minchas Chavitin that has these three characteristics, Yogel, which will be enumerated very shortly, from the Minchas Nedava that also has Yogel elements. What are they? What are these elements? Yochid, the Minchas Nedava and Minchas Chavitin are both brought by an individual as opposed to a public. Beglal Atzma, you can see the Gimel is highlighted with our markings, that's the Gimel in the abbreviated Yogel. It comes, the Minchas Chavitin is not coming as a result of another korban, just like a Minchas Nedava is not coming as a result of another korban. It's the korban in and of itself. That's called Biglal Atzma. And in that sense, it's not like the Minchas Chavitin is not like the Minchas Nesachim of the korban Tomid, because in that case, the Minchas Nesachim is coming as part of the animal offering. And a third point in common, Levoina. They both have Lavona, which is not the case with the Minchas Nesachim. V'ein donin yogel, misheino yogel. And therefore, we want to say, I'm not going to compare something that has these three elements, the Chavitin, compare it to the Minchas Nesachim that does not have these three elements. Where do I find these three elements? I find it by the Minchas Nedava. So, at this point, you can go this way or that way. It's not very clear if any conclusion has been reached. Rabbi Shmuel ben Oishe, Rabbi Yochanan Broka Omer, Soles Mincha Tamid. That's the Pasuk. And that's in our Vayikra Perek Vav section. Hare hi lecha keminchas tamidim. The Pasuk is Exeris HaKosov, and it's time to compare the Minchas Chavitin to the Mincha of the Tamid that we mentioned before, the Niske Tamid. Ma Minchas Tamidim Gimel Lug Isaron. Just like over there, there's a 3 lug amount of oil per Isaron. Af Zu, so too in our Minchas Chavitin Gimel Lugin Isaron. So 3 lug would be the conclusion according to Rabbi Yishmael, based on a fairly straightforward limud from the Pasuk Solis Mincha Tamid. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Riba Kan Shemen, Riba B'Minchas Kevosim Shemen. Rabbi Shimon doesn't cite a pasuk at this point. He goes to try a logical comparison, and that is, we find here Riba Shemen, because we're assuming that Bashemen is continuing to be darshened, and there's extra oil here, and there's also B'Minchas Kevosim. There's more oil than you find by other meal offerings. Ma'alahalon shoshes lugin, just like by the Minchas Kevosim, it's 3 lug li yisaron per yisaron, which is the dry measure. Avkan shoshes lugin li yisaron, so too over here by our Minchas Chavitin, you'll have 3 lug per yisaron. Oy klach l'derech zu. Once again, you see the ambivalence. Maybe go this way. Ribo kan shemen v'ribo b'minchas porim v'yelim shemen. You find by the Minchas Chavitin a goal to add oil, and you find by the mincha, the meal offering that accompanies Purim and Elim, cows and ram offerings, also oil is brought. Ma lahalon shnei lugim isaron, just like over there by the Minchas Purim and Elim, there are 2 lug per isaron. Afkan, so too by the Minchas Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol, shnei lugim isaron. Maybe it should be 2 lug per isaron. Well, once again, nothing conclusive. Nira Lemi Dome. Let's see what it could be compared to. Dona in Mincha Bo Yisoron Mincha Bo Bi Yisoron. The Ain Dona in Mincha Bo Yisoron Mi Mincha Bo Bishnayim Bishlosh Yisroinim. I should compare, he says, to the Minchas Chavitin, whose quantity is an Isaron of dry measure, from the other Mincha, which also comes with an Isaron of dry quantity. And that happens to be the Minchas Kvosim. That's when you're bringing a sheep offering, the accompanying Mincha that comes with the sheep offering is 3 lug. And not to derive a Mincha that comes as 1 Isaron of dry measure, the Chavitin, from the mincha that comes along with the cow and rams, there the dry amount is 2 Isaron for the ram offering and 3 Isaron for the shor, for the par, cow, for the cow offering. So at this point, it would seem that Reb Shimon is conclusive in saying that the 3 lug quantity is the way to go with regard to Mincha Chavitin, because it has in common the same dry quantity as the Mincha brought together with a sheep offering. Ha Gufa Kashya. The Gemara now points out there's an inherent difficulty in this source. Amris, you said Ba Shemen, Lahoisif La Shemen. If you have any trouble finding where this quote comes from, you can take advantage of a little star that we have to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, and if you look on the upper part of the page, you'll notice a corresponding star. So it says in this source, it starts off by saying, Bashemen, which means add oil, add meaning more than that which you would expect. Vahodar Tani, and then you'll notice it says in the source, and there's a little arrow here, which also is corresponds to the arrow above where you'll see the quote coming from. So it says above in the source, Nemar kan shemen, v'nemar b'minchas nidova shemen. That phrase is here to simply establish that there is oil in the first place. That's ligboa, to establish that there's oil for this korban in the first place. So on the one hand, you open up by saying it seems that it's obvious that there's oil with the Minchas Chavitim. It's just a question of how much. And then you turn around and say, well, let's simply establish that there is oil. How then are we to make sense of this source? And we see here our trapezoid or volcano shape, and on the outside margin, the Mivne, we've noted Gimel, Deos, Behezbra, Braisa, Deliel, 3 approaches to explain the Tanaic source we had above, Binyan, Kamus, Hashemen, Leminchas Chavitin, regarding the amount of oil that's required for the Minchas Chavitin. So Abaye, Omar Abaye, Man Tano, Bashemen, Lahoisif, who is the Tano that says at the beginning of the Braisa, the expression Bashemen is Lahoisif? Rabbi Shimon, he. That, in fact, is Rabbi Shimon. And you will note that it may seem not very smooth, but Rabbi Shimon appears later in the source. And, in fact, when he offered his discussion, you noticed that he never even mentioned the possibility of a mere one lug. He was into this idea of Reba La Shemen. So the opening phrase is authored by Rabbi Shimon. That Ba Shemen comes to tell me how much. Comes to tell me that you are to add a lot, more than the standard 1 lug of oil. And then Ubedino Man Komahader. Bedino is a reference to the approach that we featured just before of Nemar Kan Shemen V'Nemar B'Minchas Nedava Shemen. That approach, that part of the Brisa, albeit it was right next to the first, the opening line, but that part, we could say the third line of the Brisa, that is Rabbi Yishmael. Rav Huna Braid Rav Yoshua Omar Kula Rabbi Yishmael B'Nosh Rabbi Yochan Mabrokahi. The whole beginning of the Brisa is one authorship. V'hochi ka'amar. And thusly, we are to understand the dynamic of the source. Bashemen lahoisif la shemen. The opening is saying that Bashemen means, of course, there is oil, and all that happens here is that you have to add more than the regular amount. De'i likboa shemen, if you were to think that the Bashemen is here to teach me that there is a basic presence of oil, and simply to establish that there is oil, lo tzorach, I don't need Bashemen for that. Kivon dechtiv bo al machvas, since it says in the Minchas Levitin, al machvas, ke minchas machvas damio, it's like a minchas machvas, and a minchas machvas, this type of pan meal offering called a minchas machvas has oil with it. So the chavitin, by virtue of the fact that it's called, it's referred to as al machvas, I know it has oil. The only issue is how much. Oy eino elo likboa lo shemen. Or maybe, once again, ambivalence, or maybe the bashemen here really is to establish that there is oil. De'i lo kosav rachmona bashemen, had the Torah not written bashemen, I might have thought to cite the meal offering brought by a sinner as a precedent for a mincha that has no oil. So that since there exists a mincha that has no oil with it, maybe the minchas chavitin of the Kohen Gadol takes on the same characteristic. And therefore, I do need bashemen not to tell me additional oil, but to tell me a basic oil presence. Hoda Omar, and then Rabbi Shmuel comes back and says, bearing in mind that according to Rav Huna Rabbi Yeshua, this whole beginning part of the Brisa is one author, it's Rabbi Shmuel, going back and forth with himself. Hoda Omar, then he says, Teve Nami Ligbo Lo Shemen. Let's say then that Bashemen is not coming to tell me additional oil. It's coming simply to tell me that there is oil. Tesi Midino. Then there was an attempt to use logic to compare it to one other mincha. V'don Dino v'lo Asya. Then he went ahead, Rabbi Shmuel went ahead and tried this approach of comparison, logical comparison, and velo asio, and did not come to any conclusion, and therefore the atzricha kra. Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel needs the pasuk, and that's what happened in the source. There was where we have Rabbi Shmuel's name circled at that point in the source. He then cited the pasuk. The citing of the pasuk we'll call it a last ditch attempt to come to a conclusion regarding the quantity of oil necessary. So let's go over Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua's approach. Rav Huna says that the opening of this Tanaic source was in fact Rabbi Yishmael. It's the same Rabbi Shmuel that appears in the middle of the source where his name is circled, but in fact we'll call that the climax of Rabbi Shmuel, who actually opened up the source. The opening of the source was an attempt to say that Bashemen comes to tell me that I need more than the ordinary amount. On the other hand, then it was suggested maybe Bashemen is coming to tell me that there is a basic presence of Shemen, because of the fact that there's a Minchas Chote in the background that would have otherwise served as a precedent for a non-oil Mincha. And then, at this point, the question is how much oil? Once we establish that Bashemen tells me that you do have to have oil, the question of how much oil? And then Rabbi Shmuel went on to try to compare it to other minochas where there is oil, and that attempt did not bear fruits. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel finally had to come on to the pasuk Soilus Mincha Tomid to tell me that the Minchas Chavitim is like the Minchas Nisachim of the Korban Tomid. Hence, 3 lug are necessary. Now, another approach. Rova Omar, Kula Rabbi Shimon. Kula means the whole ratio, the whole opening of the Mishnah is, in fact, Rabbi Shimon. The Ilu Loi Ne'emar Komar, and the structure of the source is in the Ilu Lo Ne'emar form. That is explained. The Hachi Komar, And thusly, we should understand the source. And of course, according to Rava, this source is Rabbi Shimon, there at the beginning. And thusly it says, Bashemen equals Lahoisif Lo Shemen. Bashemen is coming to tell me, add more than the usual quantity of oil to the Minchas Chavitin. The I Likboa Lo Shemen, if you were to think that Bashemen is here simply to establish a presence of oil, Lo Tzorach Kevinachtiv Bo Al Machvas, I don't need Bashemen to establish the presence of oil because the Pasuk says Al Machvas Keminchas Machvas, which tells me it's like a Minchas Machvas Damyo. Damyo means it is compared. And we know that in the Minchas Machvas there is oil. So I don't need Bashemen to establish the presence of oil. Therefore, Bashemen must be telling me an added quantity of oil. V'ad shelo yomar Bashemen yesh li bedin. And then Rabbi Shimon is suggesting, hey, you know what, even without Bashemen, I can, through logic, come to a conclusion regarding quantity of oil. V'don dino lo asyale. And then he tried to make comparisons. Don dino would be a logical approach, a non-scriptural approach, but did not come to any conclusions. And you could see that was illustrated by the ambivalence of the source. And we attempted to illustrate this with our squiggle underlines under the expressions O Klach L'Derech Zu, which you saw above. So that did not bear any fruits. V'atzricho ba-shemen. Therefore, he had to come back to the ba-shemen. Hodar Omar, then he says, Teve keminchas parm v'elim. Then, it was suggested by Rabbi Shimon later on in the source, even though Rabbi Shmuel had interrupted the flow of Rabbi Shimon that was established at the beginning, nevertheless, after Rabbi Shmuel's interruption, Rabbi Shimon comes back and says, okay, that once I know that I have an added amount of oil because of the Bashemen word, I then want to find how much oil is added, how much additional oil. And that's when he came on to this, the second stage of logical comparison, and that did not work. That's what we just read in the at the bottom line of the Gemara, Hoda Omar Teve Kemin Chasporim V'Elim, which would have resulted in an added amount, but only two lug, not three. Hodar Omar, then he says, Donin Mincho Habo Isar, and then his final conclusive remark was, as far as quantity is concerned, I compare my Minchas Chavitin to the only other Mincha with additional oil that comes with an Isaron quantity, and that is the Minchas Kvosim alone. Hence, Rabbi Shimon concludes, three lug from that comparison. The Mishnah. But before we learn the Mishnah, let's take advantage of our nosei, our topic heading, in the outside margin, Meis Kohen HaGadol, the Kohen HaGadol who is responsible for bringing his daily Minchas Vitin, he dies, Velo Minu Acher Tachtov, and in the meantime, we're talking about a case where they did not appoint a replacement Kohen Gadol, Mishel Mi Mevien HaChavitin. From whom are we going to bring the chavitin? The chavitin is a type of sacrifice, a meal offering, that even though the one who officially is responsible for its bringing passes away, the need to bring the chavitin doesn't stop. It's a korban brought with regularity. And the question now is, upon his demise, who takes over in the meantime until they replace until they appoint a new Kohen Gadol. So Rabbi Shimon tells us, Michel Tzibur, the public funds are used to purchase the Minchas Chavitin. Rabbi Yehuda says, Michel Yorshim, the heirs of the Kohen Gadol who passed away, they are responsible for bringing the Minchas Chavitin. The Mishnah, Lo Minu Kohen Acher Tachtov, Michel Mi Hoisa Kreva. In the event that the Kohen Gadol dies and they didn't appoint a replacement Kohen Gadol, from whom are we going to expect the minchas chavitin to be brought? From whose resources? Reb Shimon Omer Michel Tzibur, from the public funds. Reb Yehuda Omer Michel Yorshim, from the Kohen Gadol's heirs. Ushlema hoisa kreva. Shlema means a complete isaron. As opposed to the Kohen Gadol himself, who would bring an isaron, but split it into chatz isaron in the morning and chatz isaron in the afternoon, this did not take place in the case of the demise of the Kohen. During this interim period, until the Kohen Gadol is replaced, the Minchas Chavitin was offered as a complete isaron on the Mizbeach. Rashi points out at the top, Ushlema, Isaron Shalem Baboker, the Isaron Bein Arbayim, Kolzman, Shikreva Mishel Tzibur. Using Rabbi Shimon's example, the end of the Mishnah says that if they have not yet appointed a Kohen Gadol, so the Minchas Avitim will be offered twice a day, but not a half Isaron each time, but rather a full Isaron each time. Before we go on in the Gemara, let's take note of a couple features here. We have included in the inside margin relevant psukim for the continuation of the Gemara. Vayikra Perek Vav, we have psukim Yud Gimel cited, and Posuk Tes Vav cited. As far as if you want to see Posuk Yud Dalet that's not mentioned here, that we've already included on Nun Amid Beis. In the outside margin, we have a nosei heading, Machloikis Rebuta of Rabbi Shimon, Eich Lidrosh Apsukim Bevayukra Perek Vav, Hakshurim Lechavitim. We will see a machloikis between these two opinions and how to darshan the psukim that we have cited from Perek Vav. Tano Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that lasts about 6-7 lines. You can see it's in a frame. Kohen Gadol Shemes Velominu Kohen Acher Tachtov. A Kohen Gadol who passed away and they didn't appoint a replacement one. Minayin Shitehe Minchoso Krevo Mishel Yorshim. From where do I know that the Minchas Chavitin is offered from the resources of the heirs? Talmud Lomar, Va'akoyen HaMoshiach Tachtov Mibonov Yaseh Oisa. So it says, Mibonov, from his offspring, they will take care of the Minchas Chavitin. Yochol Yakriveno Chatzoyin. Could it be that the Yorshim, when they bring it in halves, like their father brought a half Yisorin in the morning and a half Yisorin in the afternoon? Talmud Lomar Osa Kula Velo Chetzio Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The idea of a complete Isaron is learned from the word Osa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Chok Olam, Michel Olam. The Pasuk said Chok Olam. This you can see in Pasuk Tezvav. And that tells me Michel Olam means from the Olam, from the Tzibur, from the public. Kolil Toktar. That expression appears at the end of Pasuk Tezvav. Shitei Kula Bahaktara. That it's a type of mincha that is completely burnt. Unlike the standard mincha from which a handful is removed and offered on the fire and the shirayim are eaten, the case of the Minchas Chavitin is different. It is completely burnt. The Gemara asks a question. You'll notice we have a long question marking that accompanies this section. To the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. The question lasts, or takes up all of these lines. The Gemara asks, V'hai HaKohen HaMashiach L'hochi Hu Da'asa. Does the expression of HaKohen HaMashiach that we saw in the source, is it really coming for that which it was purported to be coming? We said that it was coming to teach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the mincha is brought from the heirs when the father, Kohen Gadol, passes away. So the Gemara is asking, is that really what the Pasuk of HaKohen Mashiach is coming to teach me? Hi, mi boy alech insanya, I need it for the following Tanaic source. The pasuk that's cited here is from Vayikra Vav pasuk Yud Gimel. It says, "Zeh korban Aaron uvonav asher yakrivu l'Hashem biyom himoshach oisai." Yochol you Aaron uvonav makriven korban echad. Could it be that Aaron and his sons offered one korban altogether, one korban? Tamalomar asher yakrivu l'Hashem. From this we learn, Aaron b'fnei atzmo ubanav b'fnei atzman. The Kohen Gadol, Aaron, brought his own korban, and his sons brought their own korban. Banav elu kayanim hedyotais. The pasuk mentioned Kohen Mashiach tachtov mi banav. So we're talking about the common Kohen, Kohen hedyot, as opposed to the Kohen Gadol. Maybe this pasuk is talking about the offspring of Aaron, who themselves will be appointed as Kohanim Gedolim, generation after generation. Kishuomer, when it says in pasuk Tezvav Va'Kohen HaMoshiach Tachtov Ibanav, there you have a reference to the generations of Kohanim Gedolim, the subsequent Kohanim Gedolim mentioned. Harei Kohen Gadol Omur. So the HaKohen HaMoshiach, you can see we've dashed underline it, because this is really why we're bringing in this source. We see that HaKohen HaMoshiach is coming to teach me the Harei Kohen Gadol Omur, that the Kohen Gadol of future generations, each future generation Kohen Gadol brings his own Minchas Chavitin. So what am I to do with the expression of bonav? In Pasuk Yud Gimel it said, Zer korban Aaron uvonav. So what's bonav? Elu kainim hedyotis. That's a reference to the Kohen Hedyot on the day of his consecration, on the day of his become consecrated for Avodas Beis HaMikdash. He too brought a Minchas Chavitin. But his Minchas Chavitin that he brings on the day they were installed into office, in the time of Aaron, they brought their own Minchas Chavitin and not together with Aaron. The question then is, we saw at the opening source in the Gemara, we have dashed underline Kohen HaMashiach Tachtov. And that pasuk was coming to tell me that the Yorshim, the heirs, bring the Minchas Chavitin in the event that their father dies, until they replace a new Kohen Gadol. But in this source, we saw the same pasuk, HaKohen HaMashiach Tachtov Ibanav, for serving as a source that Kohanim Gedolim, offspring of the original Kohen Gadol, offspring of Aaron, bring their own Minchas Chavitin. So the Gemara answers, Im Kain, if it were so that the whole pasuk is here to teach me about the Chavitin, to be brought by the Yorshim, as long as the replacement Kohen Gadol has not been appointed. If that's, in other words, to keep it simple, if the role of HaKohen Mashiach is for what it was presented is at the beginning, then Lichtoiv Kro HaKohen HaMashiach Tachtov Bonov Yaseh. That would have been sufficient for telling me that the Yorshim bring the Minchas Chavitin. My mi bonav, the mem is emphasized here. Why does it say mi bonav? Shamis mino tarti. In addition to the idea of the Yorshim bringing Minchas Chavitin, I also learn the halacha of the Kohen Gadol son of the subsequent generations of Kohanim Gedolim, that they too bring Minchas Chavitin generation after generation. Rabbi Shimon, hi, oisa, my Ovid lay. Now, Rabbi Shimon had learned the idea of a complete mincha, that it's shlema. We saw Rabbi Yehuda darshaning the word osa, and by the way, we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. If you scan up the page, you'll see it points to a line also on the left-hand side of the Gemara text. It points to a line where it said, Tamalomar osa, Kula v'lochetzia, the halacha of the minchas chavidim brought by the heirs is brought as a full isara, not as a half isara. The question is, what does Rabbi Shimon do with that osa word? And it's pointed out that since he learned the idea of shlema, of complete isaron from kolil toktar, what does he learn from osa? My ovid lay. Answer, mi boyale, he needs it for the following. L'koin gol shemeis, uminu, achir tachtov, lo yovi, chatzi isaron mi beso, v'lo chatzi isaron shel rishon. So Rav Shimon uses the word osa to deal with the contingency case of a Kohen Gadol who died, and they replaced the Kohen Gadol on the same day with another Kohen Gadol, with a new Kohen Gadol. Osa is teaching me that the replacement of Kohen Gadol shall not bring for his Minchas Chavitim obligation a Chatzi Yisaron from his house, nor should he use the Chatzi Yisaron that remains from the Kohen Gadol that just died the very same day before he brought his second stage Minchas Chavitin. So Osa is teaching Rabbi Shimon this particular point. Not Chatzi Yisaron from his house. The new Kohen Gadol doesn't bring a Chatzi Yisaron for the afternoon Minchas Chavitin from his house, and he doesn't use the Chatzi Yisaron that remained from the first Kohen Gadol, from the previous Kohen Gadol. The Gemara asks, "V'tepuk le min v'umachtzisa." Why not learn this idea from umachtzisa, which the Gemara had derived earlier? Answer: Vav lo dar. She doesn't see something special in the letter vav to warrant a special limud, a special teaching. Rebuta, hi chokolom, my ovid lei. Notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you skim up the page, you'll see a line in which Rabbi Shimon learned from Chok Olam that when the Kohen Gadol dies and until there is a replacement Kohen Gadol, the funds used to buy the Milchas Chavitin come from the Olam, from the Tzibor. So that's as far as Rabbi Shimon's use of the expression Chok Olam. Here the Gemara wants to know, Rabbi Yehuda, hi Chok Olam, hi Ovid Lei. What does Rabbi Yehuda do with that expression? Answer, Chuka le'olam tehei. He learns it not olam as far as tzibur, but olam as far as time is concerned, namely that this practice of the Minchas Chavitim is to be practiced forever, generation after generation. Kolil toktar lamali. What does Rabbi Yehuda do with the expression of kolil toktar? Tosis points out that the reason the Gemara is asking this question is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Chavitin, in the case of the death of a Kohen Gadol, is brought by his heirs. Well, his heirs are Kohanim. Being that they are bringing the Mincha Chavitin, it's obvious, by virtue of the fact that it's a Mincha brought by a Kohen, it's obvious that it is completely burnt. So, Rabbi Yehuda does not need Kolil Toktar to tell me completely burnt. That's already obvious. So the Gemara is asking Kolil Toktar Lomali. What does Rabbi Yehuda do with that? Answer: Miboyle lichadisanya. He needs the Kolil Toktar expression for the following teaching. Before going on, let's take advantage of our no say topic heading in the outside margin, introducing this section of Gemara. The Nosei says, Minchas Chavitin, the Kohen Gadol, the Mincha of the meal offering of the Kohen Gadol, the Chavitin, and the Minchas Nedova, the Chol Kohen, a voluntary meal offering brought by a standard Kohen, any Kohen. 2 points. One, Kulo Kolil, they are completely burnt. Unlike a standard meal offering, which is from which only the handful of flour is offered, the rest, the shirayim, being eaten by the Kohanim, These minachas, the minchas chavitin and the minchas nedava of a kohen, are completely burnt. And number two, yesh lav b'achivosin, there is a violation of a negative command if one were to eat it. So in our investigation right now of what Rabbi Yehuda learns from Kolil Toktar, we will see these points. Lichidisanya. So in the Bryce, in the Gemara, we see a Tanaic source in a frame. Ein li ela el yoyna minchas kohen gadol b'kolil toktir. Kolil Toktar. In Perek Vav of Vayikra, we notice the passage called Elyona, the upper psukim, means the earlier psukim from Yud Beis through Tesvav, that deals with the Kohen Gadol's Minchas Chavitin. And in Pasuk Tesvav it says, Kolil Toktar, completely burnt. The Tachtona, Pasuk Tezayin, Minchas Kohen Hedyot, below Socha. If we glance at the inside margin, we've written in Pasuk Tezayin, it says there, V'chol Minchas Kohen Kolil tiye lo se ochel. In this pasuk, it says lo se ochel. It shall not be eaten. So I see that it is accompanied by a negative command if one were to eat it. So from the psukim as they are, I see that toktor means burnt, kolil completely burnt. That's characteristic of the mincha of the kohen gadol, the minchas chavitin. The lav of lo se'ochel, that is attached to the common Kohen's voluntary meal offering. Minayin litain es ha'omur shel zeh bozeh, es ha'omur shel zeh bozeh. From where do I know to apply the halacha of the one to the other? Talmud Lomar, therefore, I have a gezerah shava, kolil kolil. In Pasuk Tes Vav, you'll notice the word kolil. And in Pasuk Tes Zayin, the word kolil. This is a gzeirah shava, a word comparison. Ne'emar kan kolil v'ne'emar la'alon kolil. It says here kolil and it says there kolil. Ma kan b'kolil toktar. Just like in Pasuk Tezvav, the word kolil is associated with toktar, meaning burnt. Af la'alon in Pasuk Tezayin, with regard to the Kohen Hedyot, where the word kolil appears, understand it to mean toktar, completely burnt. So I, so far, have transferred replicated the idea of completely burnt from Kohen Gadol onto the case of the Kohen Hedyot. Uma lahalon by the Kohen Hedyot, lo sasa al-chilo. So there's a negative violation if one were to eat from it. Afkan, so too, in the case of the Chavite Kohen Gadol, litain lo sasa al-chilo. I, through this word comparison, learn that the lav of eating applies to the Minchas Chavitim of the Kohen Gadol as well. As we continue in the Gemara, we turn now to Rabbi Shimon. The last section of Gemara was dealing with Rabbi Yehuda's drushes on Rabbi Shimon's sources. Now we turn back to Rabbi Shimon. Before going further, we notice a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you glance above, you'll notice at that point on the upper part of the page, the comment of Michel Oilam was quoted. And it's at that point, Rabbi Shimon had said, Chok Olam tells me that the Minchas Chavitin, in the event that the Kohen Gadol dies and they haven't replaced him, the Minchas Chavitin is brought from the public funds. So the Gemara here is going to ask, is it really so that Rabbi Shimon holds this idea of bringing from public funds is Torah-based, is deoraisa? We will see shortly that it is a takonas based in, a ruling on the part of the based in, of the courts, that the public funds the Minchas Levitim under those circumstances. Let's glance at our topic heading in the outside margin where we've written in the nosei. Haim, is it so? Haim Rabbi Shimon be'emes sover de midoraisa. Does he really hold that from a Torah standpoint, al hatzibur lahavi es hachavitin, that it's the public's obligation to bring the levitim b'mikre shemeis kohen hagadol in the event that the kohen gadol died, v'lo minu acher tachtov, and have not as yet replaced him? Dare kotoni, we have a source that says shezeu takonas chachomim, that it's a rabbinic institution or ruling, and not something based on a pasuk. So we'll have will be presenting two sources. We have the source above that indicated from Chok Olam, it's Mishel Olam, comes from the Tzibor, according to Rabbi Shimon, and that would be a Torah requirement. On the other hand, we have a source we're about to see where Rabbi Shimon says that the public funding of the Minchas Chavitin is a court institution, a court-instituted idea, as opposed to a Torah requirement. Let's now read this inside. V'sova Rabbi Shimon Mishel Tzibur Doraisa. Is it so that Rabbi Shimon holds that the public funding of the Minchas Chavitim is a Torah requirement? V'hotnan, we have the following Tanaic source. Omar Rabbi Shimon, and we've dashed underlined Rabbi Shimon because he is the focus of our discussion. Shiva Dvarim Hiskinu Beis Din. There are seven rulings that Beis Din instituted. V'zeh Echod Mehen. And this is one of them. Now, the Ze Echad Mehem, Rashi points out, is really referring to something that was mentioned earlier in this Tanaic passage that is a quote from Maseches Shkolim. We are not dealing with all of the surrounding information. We're really driving to get to a point that's cited at the end of this source where you can see there is additional dashed underlining. So we will leave the background for Rashi to develop for those who are going to be reviewing with the Rashi. Additional Takonos Bezdin are mentioned. Oyved Kechovim, Shesholach Oylosoi, Mimidinas Hayam, a Gentile who sent his sacrifice from abroad to the Beis HaMikdash. He's sending a gift offering to the Beis HaMikdash. Sholach Imo Nesochim, Krevo Mishalo. If he sent the accompanying Nesochim offerings, then they are offered from that which he sent. The Im Lav, if the Gentile did not send accompanying Nesachim offerings, then Kraven Mishel Tzibur, then the public will fund them. V'chein Ger Shemes V'niach Zvochim. Similarly, a convert who died leaving no heirs, and he left sacrifices, Yesh Lo Nesachim, Kraven Mishelo. If the Gentile, the convert left the accompanying offerings as well. The accompanying, we should have mentioned earlier, refers to the wine and meal offerings that accompany these sacrifices. Then they are offered from that which he left over in his estate. The im lav, if the sacrifices that he left over, the animals that he left over, were not left with their accompanying Nesachim offerings, then Kraven Mishel Tzibur, then the public shall fund those accompanying offerings of the converts, the deceased converts' sacrifices. Now we get to which is relevant to our discussion. Utnai based in who? Koyin Gadol Shemes Lominu Koyin Achir Tachtov. It's a court institution that a court ruling that if the Kohen Gadol dies and they haven't replaced him with a successor, Shetei Minchaso Krevo Mishel Tzibur, that his Minchas Chavitin is funded by the public funds. Well, we see right here that the Mincha comes from the Tzibur as a result of a Tnai based in as a court ruling, and not as a result of the Pasuk that we saw above, Chok Olam, which taught us Mishel Tzibur. The Gemara answers. Omer Rabbi Avol. Before we get into the answer itself, just let us take note of the new geometric forms. We have a diamond here. In the outside margin, you can see we have under our Mivneh heading the diamond featuring Shnei Takonas Havu. And we also have a double underlining which will appear. Pirut Hashlavim. We call this the delineation or the item, the specification of stages. What happens here is the Gemara, Rabbi Avo, informs us that there were two stages of court rulings. There's a basic d'oraisa, and then we will see two stages of court rulings, and as we go on in the Gemara, things will become readily apparent. However, the reason for our markings here is because this structure of question and answer with a shtei takonos answer and two stages of takonos will be characteristic of the Gemara at the top of Nun Beis Amud Aleph as well. So to give a sense of balance or of consistent structure, we've employed these markings for this section of Gemara. Omar Rabbi Avo, Shnei Takonos Havu. There were two rulings that took place on the part of Beis Din. Doraisa Midatzibor. First of all, this is not one of the rulings. This is a preface, and that is that Min HaTorah Doraisa, that from Torah, from the Torah level, the funding for the Chavitin, in the event the Kohen Gadol died, until he is replaced, it is in fact from the public funds. However, Kevan Dechazu Dekom Midchika Lishka, it was seen, it was noticed that the it was tough, it was difficult, mitchaka, it was a strain on the public funds. So Tokinu, they made a ruling. We've dashed on Tokinu because this is the first court ruling. There was an institute, the court instituted the Ligvi Miyorshim, that it should be collected, the funds for the Chavitim should be collected from the heirs. Kevan dechazu de kopashi ba, when they noticed that the heirs were lax in supplying the funds for the minchas chavitin, ukmua adoraisa. Notice ukmua means they reestablished it on the Torah level. But this, in effect, is a second stage of court intervention. So that if you see a source that says there's a Tanai Beis Din, that it shall come from the Tzibor, that's in fact what this last source, this last Tanai source, was talking about. It was talking about that second stage in history. The first source that spoke about Chok Olam coming, Mishel Olam, that is what that source is repeating, the Torah teaching, that in the event the Kohen Gadol dies, in fact, from a Torah standpoint, the funding for the Chavitim is from the public. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a framed section, very brief. This is one of the this is an additional example of the seven takonas that were mentioned a few lines up in the previous Tanaic citation. So another example of that, and it may be pointed out that we're really getting off the topic of Minchas Chavitin, but because we cited the different takonas and we just encountered a Gemara that resolved the a problem with this answer of Shnei Takonas, in fact this same dynamic takes place now, coming from the same source, dealing with a different court ruling. So with all that in mind, we go on to a new topic from that source. The Al Pora Shaloyehe Moyalin the Ephra. There was a Takonas Besdin regarding the ashes of the Pora Aduma. The Pora Aduma was the red cow that was slaughtered and burnt for the purpose of affording ritual purification in the case of Tumas Mace, where the ashes of the Pora Aduma were mixed with water from a live spring and sprinkled on the client, on the individual that needed his tahara. This source tells us that there was a court ruling, a takonas based in court provision, that the ashes of the Pora Aduma, if one derives personal benefit from them, that's what Me'ila is associated with, one will not be in violation of the sin of Me'ila. Once again, it seems that it takes a court ruling to establish that there is no Me'ila, there is no violation, if one derives personal benefit from the ashes of the Pora Aduma. The Gemara upon this asks, what do you mean it's a court ruling? De'oraisa hi. This is true from a Torah perspective. It's not a rabbinic ruling. De'sanya, we have the following Tanaic source. This pasuk opens up, the source opens up with a pasuk from the Parsha of Pora Aduma in Parshas Chukas in Bamidbar Perek Yutes. It says there, chatos hi. Malame shemoyalin bo. The fact that the Pora Aduma, which in truth was not a real sacrifice, but it's called chatos, it's called sin offering. In fact, the Pora Aduma was not slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash at all. But the Torah calls it a name. It calls it a chatos. Well, Malame Shemol Limba. This teaches me that even though it's not a formal sacrifice, nevertheless, if one derives personal benefit from it, he will be in violation of mi'ilah, the name of the sin for deriving personal benefit from things that are of a holy nature. The pasuk says, he. From this we learn, bo mo'alin, be'efra ein mo'alin. The word he is a limitation expression indicating that mi'ilah will take place only if one benefits from the animal, from the cow itself. But after the cow is burnt and converted into ash, there is no violation of mi'ilah if one benefits from those ashes. So we see from here that it's not doesn't require a takonas bezdin to establish this reality. The Torah itself provides for the innocence or the non-violation of mi'ilah when it comes to benefit from the ashes. Answer. Omer of Ashi, Shtei Takonas Havoi. There were two rulings that govern this situation. The Oraisa, from a Torah level, Bo Molin, Befrain Molin. Like we just said, the Torah itself teaches that there's no Mi'ilah if one benefits from the ashes. However, stage one. Kevin the Chazu de Kamazazali Bovako Avdi Mine Lamakosan. It was noticed that people took it very lightly, viewed the ashes of the Paraduma in a very offhanded fashion, and they used it for purposes other than purification of Tumas Meis. They used it for applying to wounds. Apparently there is medicinal value in applying ash to wounds. So the Gemara says they used to use the ashes of the Paraduma for their wounds. Well, as a result of that, Gozru Bei Milo. Notice we've dashed on the Gozru. This is the first court intervention, the first stage. Here, the court ruled that if one uses the ashes of Paraduma for personal benefit, he will be in violation of Mi'ilah. This was designed to deter them from using it for their personal gain. However, came with the Chazuduk Parshi Misafek Hazos. It was then noticed that people became very nervous and very wary of having any dealings with the ashes of the Paraduma for fear of being in violation of Mi'ilah. So that even if there was a case of a doubt arising concerning the need for purification, that under the best of, under normal circumstances, if there had been no court rulings, deterrent type rulings, people would have sprinkled the Paraduma ash in a state of doubt, just to be sure. But since it wasn't so safe, so to speak, to just be sure, because on the other hand, there was this threat of a Mi'ilah violation, so people simply stayed away. That's the Koparshi. They stayed away from situations of Sofek Hazos. But, of course, that itself is a downside, where people would be in the community dealing with things that required purity, and they were in a state of Sofek Tumas Meis. As a result of that, Ukmua Adoraisa, they reestablished the Torah level, which says, the Torah teaching, which says that, in fact, there is no Mi'ilah with regard to the Afer of the Paraduma, and that solved the problem of people avoiding Hazos under Sofek situations. And with that, we also understand why, on the one hand, you have a source that teaches me that the lack of the non-Mi'ilah is a Takana Derabanan. That's a reference to this second stage that we just mentioned, where they re-established the Torah level. And, of course, that which we know from the brief source, where the word he was darshan, which is really telling me what the basic Torah attitude is toward the ash. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.